Hello there.
It's them. Blast them.
Roger, roger.
We're doomed.
What have we done?
This is madness.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I've been reading the Shadow and Bone series.
Okay, yeah. How do you like them?
I think I have like, one. I think I might.
They're enjoyable. Like they're
okay, cool.
I think I just needed like an easy read.
I want to read The Discovery of Witches. I've had that book for years.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to read it. And so I totally get that.
Yeah.
I want to dive into some like brand new fantasy.
What the fuck is my phone trying to pay for? Okay. Welcome back, guys.
Hello and welcome.
Thank you for coming back.
Oh my God. I will tell you though, like, I know you had a miserable time editing and I'm so sorry.
I gave up halfway through. That's why the episode is so long.
However, I will tell you this. That was one of the most fun.
Oh my God. We had so much fun. I don't know if
we had so much fun.
I like that's one of those episodes that I will probably never listen to again because the edit was such a nightmare. And like you guys have no idea how much I cut out of that episode. It is probably one of our longest episodes.
I know because I started video recording like halfway through. That video is 2 hours long. I haven't even started to edit that, by the way. I have that video.
Oh,
and I haven't even touched
my
it.
My God.
I'm so scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
We had a great time.
And in the grand scheme of things, that's all that matters.
That is
not our listeners.
Our producers are pissed. Who are producers at this point?
Me.
Yeah. You're pissed because you had to edit it. And I just kept apologizing.
And it's my fault.
it was your fault.
Yeah. I'm aware. I know. I was there.
Yeah. But it was so much fun.
I don't know how many times I had to cut out me bringing up the same point.
The same
I was
point.
Very
and in the moment, I was like,
adamant.
I thought I was losing my mind. I was like, did we not just talk about this? Did I have that conversation in my head? I was like, did we talk about this?
Like,
and I was very concerned. Yeah, and then I was like,
no, that's just me when I'm high. So thank you guys so much for coming back.
Oh my God.
I
hope you enjoyed it as well.
We are sober. But Cassie has a Guinness, but I'm sober.
I just started drinking.
Oh, so we're sober this time.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a very large coffee.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
I'm very, very tired.
I needed a Guinness. It's been a morning.
So my job is trying to kill me.
Your job is trying to kill you.
I fell at work again.
God damn it. I got this text, guys, and I was like, motherfucker.
This
Maggie Magnolia.
This time it wasn't down a flight of stairs. This time I slipped in what I thought was like syrup from like one of our soda guns because it was right near where all the soda syrups are, right by our walk-in.
I have to ask, did you see it before you slipped in it?
Yes.
And you
because they told me somebody was gonna come mop it up.
Okay.
Like
all right.
Which they didn't do.
That is that. Oh, shocker there.
Yeah.
Considering your last fall.
But we have a blue lemonade at work. So it was blue on the ground. So it was like, lemonade's leaking. So manager already knew about it. I go back there like a little while later and slipped in it and put my entire like shin in this. Turns out I found out a few minutes later because it's like, oh, it's fine. I just slipped like, you know. Everything, like, nothing's broken. All my managers were, like, white-faced when they saw it was me that slipped.
They're like, no.
Like, no, this bitch again.
Oh, my God.
But, like, a few minutes after that, I was like, oh, my leg feels weird. My leg feels super weird. So I went to the bathroom and, like, washed off my leg. And I was like, okay, fine. 10 minutes after that, I'm like, my leg is burning. And so I went in the back and I found that right on the ground next to it were two bottles of beer line cleaner. And for those of you who don't know, that is a corrosive.
Yeah.
Chemical.
Yeah.
And it can burn when it comes in contact with your skin. So my job bought me new pants.
I was about to say, this is why bartenders don't wear shorts.
Yeah.
Like, you wear pants for a reason.
Yeah. So they bought me new pants, which was great. And I have this cute little chemical burn on my leg.
Oh my God. Are you okay? You didn't tell me that part. Did you get the proper ointment, Maggie?
Yes. I've got a Band-Aid on it. I've got antibiotic ointment on it. I cleaned it. Like, I'm not stupid.
Okay.
Most of the time.
I know you're not, but sometimes you're just like careless and you'll just put it off till later. And then later comes and you forget. So that's why I had to ask. Okay, Am I wrong?
That's fair.
You get distracted.
That is fair.
I'm like, Maggie,
that is
did fair. You properly clean your room?
Yes, I did. It's not like I super glued it back together this time.
I'm not even gonna touch that. God damn it. Well, super for all glue. Of those who welcome themselves back, I am Cassie.
I'm Maggie.
And this is our Star Wars podcast. And
I'm broken.
Oh God. Oh no. I mean, we've had a weekend.
Yes.
I'm not gonna go into it too much, but because I will start crying. But if you listen to our podcast enough, you know that Maggie and I are very close with our family, and our family means everything. And the worst thing in the world is to see your family and loved ones grieve. Mm-hmm. And my poor little sister, who is 16, she and her friends, unfortunately, for the second time in the span of less than 4 months, are grieving a classmate who passed away last night in a motorcycle accident. So that really fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And it is not fun, and it is really shitty, and it has been a mourning. So please keep my sister and her friends and family in your thoughts and prayers, especially her mom. Like, I got on the phone with Wendy this morning, and mm-hmm. I thought she was going to break because, like, she's watching her daughter grieve, and she's 16.
Yeah.
I would never wish it on anyone.
Yeah.
That sucks. So.
I'm pretty sure I speak for, like, all of our listeners. Our hearts are going out to Lainey right now.
Yeah, like that.
And that girl's family. Like, that's just horrible.
I know. I really hope the first thing I said, I was like, because she's obviously in therapy, and as anyone should be who's grieving. And I said that I hope their high school has grief counselors.
Yeah.
Like, this is the second time in 4 months that one of their classmates and friends and peers has passed away. Like, they need grief counselors in that school. Because not every family can afford therapists.
No.
And those kids deserve healthy healing.
Yeah.
So that's what I really 100%. Hope for. But anyway, so that happened. So it's been a weekend.
Yep.
It's been some times, but we're getting through it. Speaking of, I'm actually going to be home next weekend, thank God, so I can see her.
That's good.
So we will see you guys after this episode. We'll see you in 2 weeks. So we're going to have We're going to have another two episode
and
week in a couple weeks.
We're not going to be high when we do it.
No, it's going to be much shorter. I'm so sorry.
If we are high, it will only be one of us.
It will be one of us.
Both of us can't be high at the same time on this show.
What?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
We found that out the hard way. Both of us can
be. We had a great time.
Oh, no. That was so much fun. Both of us can be drunk on this show.
Mm.
But both of us high on this.
Jawless proved that. Yeah. I still stand by that episode.
Yeah. No, like that episode's
great episode.
That episode's fun because it's a mystery to us.
It's a mystery.
Because I don't remember
margaritas were involved. Tequila took over.
Yeah. I don't remember that episode. But so I got to experience it as a listener.
There we go. Fantastic.
All right. Do you have a hot take?
No. Of course not. You go first. I'll think of one.
Okay. So my hot take from my list of things that I don't understand in Star Wars. I have more.
I'm so prepared. I'm jealous.
Plan a whole episode and then don't record it.
Perfect.
My hot take for this week is, okay, so you know how on Coruscant, like, everybody just has, like, their, like, little pull-up driveways right off their weird apartments in the sky?
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all good
if it... She's just leaking.
All good if it happens like that, because then I can mark them and then just cut them out real quick.
Sorry.
Okay, so, you know, you just, like, you pull up, you park your speeder and you hop out and then you go into your apartment, which has like no doors apparently.
No, everyone just does like open window walk-ins.
Yeah,
God, the security is
shitty. Oh my God,
it'd be
so easy to rob everyone, but that's not the point.
It's so easy to put a scorpion in your bed.
There are no railings. I just like the no railings things. No, how many people do you think have like fallen to their death on Coruscant because they were like a little tipsy? Or do you think they have like safe measures?
Gosh.
Like, you know, there's like...
Or do they have like invisible shields?
Like a shield that
because didn't Anakin like jump off of one?
Yeah, but like what if he jumped past the shield thing?
Oh, maybe.
Like
he
had to like clear it.
Or did they just expect everyone to be out of the eye?
But he jumped out of a speeder, didn't he? No, he also jumped through a window.
He did jump through a window.
But he was hanging on to the...
Not the railing.
What?
He was hanging on to not the railing.
But just like, I mean, I know it's been brought up and like Family Guy brought it up, but just the lack of railings in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Though we have seen some recently. Like what? We saw a railing outside of Pershing's like little apartment area last week.
Okay.
There just seemed to be a lot of OSHA violations.
OSHA violations, because that exists in Star Wars.
Yeah, well, there should be some equivalent.
There's probably some equivalent.
Yeah, so why are there any fucking railings?
I don't know.
Okay, that's my hot take.
Well, there we go.
Which isn't much of a hot take. It's just a, I don't know, how many people have fallen? It's a question.
It's a hot question. I have a hot take, and it's going to piss you off.
Oh, no.
And it's based on last week's episode that we will get more into detail with in a minute. But my hot take is...
Am I going to have to fight you?
Well... We're officially not getting Jar Jar. Oh, darn.
Shit.
Oh, darn.
He can play more than one role.
Oh, darn. I am.
That is a
don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I am so grateful that Ahmed Best has come back because, like we have said several times on this podcast, it is nothing against the actor. Mm-hmm. He did his job.
Yeah, I do.
It is everything with the writing and the directing as to why I have a problem with Jar Jar.
I do like.
I love that actor.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy they brought him back.
Like I
not as Jar Jar. So yes.
I do really like I saw somebody online make a comment and like everybody needs to calm down with this Ahmed Best redemption thing because he never needed to be redeemed.
No.
He did his job, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. And he's if you like Phantom Menace, what it came out in 99.
Yeah.
Ahmed Best is one of the pioneers of motion capture technology when you think about it.
True story.
So, like, I really like that I saw somebody just point out that, like, let's stop saying he needs redemption. This is the reaction he's getting. Like, this is what he should have gotten 20 years ago.
Yes.
Just because you don't like a character doesn't mean you attack the actor.
Exactly.
Like,
Game of Thrones fans, take note.
Like, any fans in general.
Fans. I mean, that poor kid retired because of it. He was bullied so much.
Yeah. Well, like, but so it was very, very exciting to, like, I got just so excited and so giddy to see him on screen.
So, yay, we can be happy that he's back. Just not a Jar Jar.
Jar Jar's still in play.
No, he's not.
I'm sorry. We don't have a canonical death for the character. He could.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, in that case. Samuel Jackson.
He got thrown out of a fucking window.
We didn't get a canonical death for that character. We didn't see him die. That's not how you sound. I'm so sorry. But I'm just saying. Just saying.
We got more of
Mace
a death.
Windu.
We got more of a death for Mace Windu than we got for Jar Jar. I'm just saying.
Agree to disagree.
Both of them could still be alive.
Okay, Ahmed Best is literally another character. I don't think they're bringing Jar Jar back.
If they bring Jar Jar back, do you think he's going to look like Ahmed Best?
No.
So,
I don't know.
Mark Hamill has played more than one character in Star Wars. Mark Hamill has secret cameos all over fucking Star Wars.
Did I not know this?
I thought you knew this. Yeah, like he's in, I mean... He's one of the, like, oh, God, what is it? Rise of Skywalker, when they're trying, like, right before they do the light speed skipping thingy, the alien that they get the information from, like, when they're, like, you know, passing it through the two ships, and he's like, you know, win the war, that sort of thing, and then the alien, like, immediately dies afterwards. That's Mark Hamill.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he has
Wait,
little,
that's hilarious.
He has little cameos, like, all over Star Wars.
That's such a Mark Hamill thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I still think... That's my hot take.
It's your hot take.
I don't think they're bringing Jar Jar back.
My other hot take is you're wrong.
Okay.
And you know what my other hot take is?
What, Maggie?
This ad.
Yeah!
All right, and we're back. Episode 4, The Woo! Foundling.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I have notes.
You have
notes. I took notes.
Same.
I do have my phone. My first note is, Fuck you, Dave Filoni. I swear to fucking God, you find any chance you get. He's like, any chance I can get, we're going to bring this motherfucking scene back because trauma.
God, of course.
I can't with him. I cannot. Okay, so that is my first note.
What?
Any fucking chance Dave Filoni gets. God damn it. Order 66, we gotta see that.
Well, yeah. There's so many more angles.
I mean, we have been wondering how Grogu got rescued.
Yeah, so we did get the answer.
Ahmed Best!
With Ahmed Best, who is...
Is that Jedi? What is his name?
Okay, so his name is Kelleran Beck.
Do we know him from the Clone Wars?
We know him from... So actually, it's the same character that Ahmed Best played when he hosted the Jedi Temple Run, like, challenge, like TV, or Jedi Temple Challenge TV series.
Yeah, because I knew that was a thing.
So we do know him from that, like, quiz show type thing series that I actually haven't watched.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, I think I've seen like a couple clips of it, but I haven't watched like a full episode of it because I don't want to watch a game show.
No. I didn't even know they had one. That's hilarious. But okay, yeah. So we have technically been introduced to this.
Yeah, so there's also a second little cameo.
Tell me all the things, because I don't know who any of those Jedi are.
Oh, no, not the Jedi. The second cameo is a voiceover cameo. It's Tamara Morrison. It does a little cameo of the clones' voices.
Oh, of course he does. Well, duh. Yeah. What about the woman Jedi?
No idea.
Okay.
I was just curious. I think
she had a very distinct look.
I think.
About her. So I was like, either she's a character from
I feel
or...
like I've.
Maybe not.
I potentially have seen someone name her. I don't know her name, though.
Okay. Oh, good. I was just curious.
Let's see. I mean, because we're just going to start off with the Ahmed Best stuff because I'm just so fucking excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely love the fact that he's dual wielding lightsabers, but that they're two different. Like, I love the blue and green dual wielding. Like, I think that just looks wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, also, like, even the embroidery on his robes. Like, I just, like, everything about that just made me so happy.
I know. Also, can we talk about the fact that he aged so well?
He looks amazing.
I was like has he aged at all? Like, there was a little bit of gray in his goatee. That was it.
Wow, sir. Rude.
Rude.
Rude. How dare you?
How dare you? It's been, like, 20-plus years.
Yeah.
It's been 24
insane.
Years.
That's
and he
absolutely
looks like he aged
insane.
Nothing. Yeah. I was like, cool.
Oh,
that's
man,
so
I'm really hoping we get more of that character. Like,
I mean, I feel like we have to because
we need to see what happens.
We
next.
Don't see how Grogu, how the after transportation
how he got
goes.
It does seem like we're probably, I don't know if we'll actually see it in a flashback, but my best guess with that is that Grogu, before he... And it, like, before he got to the place that he was in The Mandalorian, like, episode one, is I'm pretty sure he probably escaped through that underground railroad Jedi, like, railroad that we saw in Kenobi, or at least the beginnings of it, potentially, is how he at least got to
Coruscant?
A place that he needed to be, or that one planet with the, you know what I'm talking about.
You
guys
know
what I'm talking about, too. But also, it's really interesting to see that when they got to the ship that they escaped on, it was a Naboobian ship.
You just wanted to use that word.
Yes, I did. But that,
I did not know that, but I love that.
But that does
mean... Oh, wait, that makes sense because of the officers. Duh.
Yeah, but the officers and the mirrored, you know, sleek, chrome-looking ship. But that does mean that the Naboo were helping the Jedi right during...
Of course,
like,
they were.
During the purge that happened.
Yeah.
So, like, Because I'm trying to, like, remember specifics off the top of my head, but, like, I don't necessarily remember in, like, during the Empire days of, like, Naboo's standing within the Empire. Like,
they were, well, remember
I'm,
the
like,
main
remember.
Guy and Padme, remember her main security guy who
oh, yeah,
wore that uniform?
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
His name I can't remember.
Panaka.
Yes.
Damn,
and he's in the book.
Yeah.
And so we know from him that he was definitely with the Rebels.
Oh, no, Panaka was with the Empire. Because Panaka almost recognized Leia, right?
Oh, are we talking about two different people?
We might be talking about two different people.
Oh, okay.
Meh.
Never mind. Well, never mind.
But it's like I'm just curious because that is like such a blatant help from the Naboo what the immediate aftermath for the Naboo is that what pushes Panaka to like go to the Empire and like prove his loyalty to them.
I'm almost wondering if those officers. I'm almost wondering if. So you know that I always get my timelines mixed up.
Yes, samesies.
Padme has passed on.
Yeah, no, she did.
So,
but she's newly
I'm
dead.
I'm wondering if her death was their last trigger. If her people were like, fuck this, we're siding with the rebels and but just took action.
See, I don't think they.
And we're like, fuck the Empire, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if her death was like their catapult to join the side.
Because if I'm remembering the Leia book correctly, is that the new queen on Naboo, like, is that it almost feels like a puppet government now. Like, she has less and less power than what Padme had had. She has less power, like...
Yeah, I did feel that, too.
So, they probably were one of, like, the early occupations from the Empire. Kind of like what they did on Ryloth as well.
So, that's why I'm wondering if her direct officers
tried
to side with the rebels, and it was not a good fate for them.
Do you think it was, like, the senatorial staff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. That makes sense to me. Her death would catapult them to be, like, that, like, makes sense to me. I could be wrong, and I don't know if it's actually written anywhere, but,
I do love that we got to see Monument Plaza again. We just saw it last week with Pershing, and like that's where they go through again. They're just like hammering home Monument Plaza as an important space.
They really are.
Yeah,
it's like Chekhov's gun.
Yeah,
boom's gonna go down.
Well, there's a really interesting with like Monument Plaza that I forgot from the High Republic books. I think it's like the President Chancellor or something or other, but I think she's in Monument Plaza looking at the top of that mountain peak, and like basically I can't remember the exact quote because I don't remember and I didn't write it down, but it's something about looking at the top because that was the highest peak on the actual planet of Coruscant, and looking at it thinking there's nothing so big that can't be conquered. But I just love just seeing like that monument that like there's and I love that it's popping up
through line.
Yeah, I do love that it's popping up right now when we're now we're in like New Republic, but like that there are issues. There's nothing too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, OK, so can we also talk about the fact how Grogu got into this drama response? I was literally texting Maggie and one of our other friends. I was like, God damn it. I was like, poor Grogu. First, he's trying to be a Jedi because that's what he's supposed to be. And then now they're telling him he needs to be a Mandalorian. And this poor little guy is just so confused. He's like, what do you want from me? I'm confused. I'm like, what do you want from him? Leave him alone. And then now he's having this like trauma response and can't communicate that this is happening.
Yeah.
But it was also so cute that it's while she's like making him armor.
Well, one of our friends is babysitting.
One of our friends pointed out, Aaron pointed out, he thinks it's foreshadowing. I guess there's a Jedi Mandalorian.
There was.
Okay. So he
thinks
that
Tar Vizsla was.
He thinks it might be that.
I love that we're getting like more confirmation that potentially that the title of the about the title of the show is that Din Djarin isn't the Mandalorian, that Grogu is the Mandalorian. Like there's that potentially the title the Mandalorian is referring to Grogu.
Really?
That there's it like it's potential like people that
Din
people
Djarin.
Are like think that potentially it could be referring to him because he's the one going through all these things to become a Mandalorian.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, so
he's gonna have teeny tiny Beskar armor.
I'm
gonna be so cute.
Dying.
I can't.
So cute. His little Yoda flips were so cute. But anyway, getting back into what's going on they're on Mandalore, right?
No. They're
what
on a
they on?
I don't fucking know.
I can't keep track. We've been on five different planets. Yeah.
It was so much easier when we were always on Tatooine.
We were just on one.
And we pitched about it.
We had sand. We just knew where we were. Of course on Tatooine are the two that I'm like, I know exactly where I am. Or Naboo. I'm like, I know where I am. This is where we are. But no, like, whenever that fucking obnoxious child gets taken away.
Jimmy Kimmel's nephew?
Yeah. Gets taken away by the dragon.
Yeah.
These are my notes. Mm-hmm. My notes are, that dragon bitch slap book tan. That dragon literally, she's going up and that dragon bitch slapped her. I was like, yo. And then when she gets back and she's trying and she needs her armor fixed.
Yeah.
So what's her face? The head armor woman.
Armor.
Is that her name?
Yeah, well, that's what we know her as, the armor.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And the fur.
Yes.
The boots with the fur.
Yes, the boots with the fur.
The boots with the fur.
The whole club was looking at her.
Whole club.
She hit the floor. I'm done. I can't.
I love this.
Next thing you know.
Shorty got low.
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 That's beautiful. Thank you. Dramatic reading.
She was pissing me off.
Yeah.
Because she was gaslighting Bo-Katan.
Well,
she was trying to ask her if she's ever seen Mythosaur. And I was like, stop gaslighting her. She's someone. Stop telling her, like, she's seeing visions.
Bitch, when have you ever been right? You said Mandalore was cursed. Air wasn't breathable. That you'd never get to the living waters. Bitch, when are you going to be right?
I know. She's pissing me off.
You've been wrong, like, pretty much every step of the way. So,
Yeah. And she was gaslighting the shit out of Bo-Katan. I was like, leave her alone.
I do think we're seeing, like, the foreshadowing of Bo-Katan being the one to unite all of the Mandalorians.
Yes.
Because her asking if she can, because she needed the new, shoulder thingy, my bob. And instead, she's, like, her asking if she can keep the Night Owls on one shoulder and the Mythosaur on the other. So, like.
Because she saw one.
So we're,
She interacted with one.
But the idea that the Mythosaur is for all Mandalorians, I think that's really interesting. The fact that she's keeping the Night Owl symbol, even though they've abandoned her at this point.
Yeah.
So she's going to end up most likely reuniting the Night Owls.
No, that was really cool. I like that, too.
Also, I love that Bo-Katan's response to, like, this new situation she's in is just like, well, guess I'm in a cult now. Like,
sounds familiar. Actually, it's so funny you say that because of all the Taylor Swift things that have come up and everything. I'm like, I literally have been thinking that. I'm like, am I in a cult? Being a Swiftie, are we? Maybe. Who knows? It's fine.
I do love that Bo-Katan has, like, become new space mom.
New space mom.
Yeah, because we have.
She is the mother of dragons.
We have. She is the mother of dragons.
She is the mother of dragons.
But also, it's really interesting to see her in that group of Mandalorians because it feels like most likely a good majority of those Mandalorians in the Watch were most likely foundlings. So Bo-Katan is one of the few people there who is not a foundling. She was born on Mandalore to a Mandalorian family.
She's so, literally royalty.
Yeah, she's literally royalty.
Literally royalty. That's fine.
I am curious if, what's his name? Paz Vizsla? If the one who's supposed to be Jimmy Kimmel's nephew's father.
Oh, the dad. Oh.
The kid's name is Ragnar or something like that.
Sure.
I want to say it's Ragnar, but I'm going to refer to him as Jimmy Kimmel's nephew because I don't remember for sure. And that's what I wrote it in my notes. As.
Right.
But I am curious if Paz Vizsla is actually his biological father or if he's a foundling, because it seemed like that kid was a foundling.
Oh.
But if he's a foundling, then the way that Paz Vizsla is talking about, that's my son, that says more to me about Mandalorian culture than if that kid is actually his biological son.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Huh. Because one of the big things with Mandalorian culture is that children are incredibly important to them. Like,
They believe
the children are our future.
I love it. Them and Whitney Houston.
them and Whitney, they get it. But it's partially because they're a warrior culture.
Oh, yeah.
Mortality rates in a warrior culture are going to be way higher. So what do you need to do? You have to constantly keep replenishing your ranks.
Yikes.
So children become the absolute most important thing. Like, they are your resource.
Yeah.
Which, one of my notes, when the armorer was talking about how all of the adults, like, they donate part of their earnings towards the foundlings.
Okay.
One of my notes just says socialism.
Socialism! I love it. They spread it around.
Oh, man.
Hold on, I have to hold my notes again.
Oh, so with it was fun to see Bo-Katan interact with Paz Vizsla, because Paz Vizsla is voiced by Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau also voiced Pre Vizsla. Oh. Jon Favreau is all of the Vizslas.
All of the Vizslas. He's like, I am all the clan of the Vizsla. I am them all.
But there's definitely some kind of history between the two of them. They gave vibes that they knew each other.
But we don't know. And the Vizslas, aren't they the ones who also claim the throne at some point?
Bo-Katan followed Pre Vizsla when she was a part of Death Watch.
Yeah.
But we don't know what Pre Vizsla's relationship to Paz Vizsla is.
I feel like they might be.
I don't know. I have so many questions.
And they were roommates.
Whoa.
Perfect.
Oh my God. It was really fun to just see more facets of this aspect of Mandalorian culture, of this offshoot of it, like their eating habits.
Oh my gosh. It answered our question.
How do they eat?
It answered our question of how do they eat. They don't eat through a feeding tube, fun fact.
Lame.
Just have to wait for you to go away.
They don't eat smoothies,
you know,
all the time.
My number one thought was when that happened, I was like, oh my God, how do they go on first dates? Like, you can't go on a dinner date.
Because they probably don't have dinner dates.
They don't have dinner dates. That makes
they
me really sad
like
for them.
Spar or something.
That makes me very sad for them.
I could see them like fighting as a date.
Ooh, that's hot.
Like, yeah.
But they don't go on dinner dates to have like casual conversation. Yeah. Like, no, that's not a thing. They can't do that. Because then they'd have to remove their helmets.
Do you think they like look at each other's helmets and find each other's helmets really attractive?
Huh. I don't know. Body language does a lot. I feel like you can tell someone carries himself.
But like, I don't know. You know how different cultures have different things that they view attractive?
Yeah.
With this offshoot of Mandalorian culture viewed like different helmets as attractive?
I know.
Or is the face not important?
It's literally the definition of love is blind. It's like the original love is blind. This is like the actual way it's supposed to work.
Oh my God. Let's see.
My only other note I had was at the end, directed by Carl Weathers.
I know, right?
He directed this entire episode. I was like, all right, bruh. I love this. It's amazing.
Love it. Like, we got.
And that was a great. So it also made me be like, directed by Carl Weathers. I was like, wow. So Dave Filoni did not direct this one. But then immediately it said, written by Dave Filoni. I was like, of course it was written by him. We had a fucking. Order 66 flashback. I was like, he's involved somehow. But Carl Weathers is probably like, let me direct this one. Okay, bro. Like, calm down. Let me not make it as brutal.
Let's see. I've got some more notes. We're going to just barrel through them the way all good podcasts do information.
Love it.
Okay. So when Jimmy Kimmel's nephew gets taken by the big giant bird thing.
Yep, the dragon thing.
When they say they're going to assemble the teams, they're going to assemble, like, the Shriekhawk team.
Uh-huh.
So there's, like, the different, like, factions, like the Night Owls, this, that. The Shriekhawks actually, like, that has a tie to Din Djarin's past. So
really?
The Shriekhawks are there. It's a bird from Mandalore, big bird, like, you know, big creature. They've got, like, their symbol on their shoulders kind of looks like a really jagged, like, Wu-Tang Clan W.
Okay.
But with, like, more, like... rougher, but it's very Wu-Tang Clan. They ain't nothing to fuck with.
Love it.
But they're actually the ones that they were a part of the group that rescued Din Djarin when he was a child and brought him into the Watch as a foundling.
Oh.
So was just like a fun little callback. I love the jetpack stuff that we saw of the chase with that.
Yeah.
I love that the jetpacks run out of fuel.
Yeah.
I love that.
There is a weakness to that.
Because it's always, because people always see with like Mandalorians, like, when do they just use their jetpacks? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
People don't always say that, but I've seen like one person say that.
Yeah, you saw one person say it. You never let it go.
Always.
Perfect. No, but you're right.
That's true. But also just the way those visual effects shots looked with the first chase and the second chase with it looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, getting up to the nest, like, they're not going to use their jetpacks. We see them use different tactics. I love when we get to see Mandalorians use
literally
different
rock climbing
tactics for things.
In that armor, can you imagine?
Yeah.
In that beating sun.
Yeah, I guess Beskar is very light.
Has to be. Good Lord.
And they're
all in very good shape.
Yeah. I think that's part of being a Mandalorian is they're all in very good shape.
Amazing.
You saw how they train.
Love that for them.
But the big mama bird coming back to her little babies who are so cute.
So cute. I love babies. That's why I was like, Bo-Katan's like, I'm your mother now.
She just straight up regurgitates Jimmy Kimmel's
life. Oh my God. When he's like, help. He's like, he's still alive. I was like, what is happening right now? I was like, has he just been in that dragon's stomach? You got Jonah and the whale. You got this kid and a dragon. A foundling and a dragon. The Bible per Mandalorian.
After they took down the dragon bird thingy and they left, my first reaction was, no, the babies. My boyfriend's like, seriously? That's what you're concerned about? And I'm like, they're cute.
Which is why she brought them back.
No.
And she was like, listen.
They're totally going to ride those little babies. And
we're just going to keep. Absolutely.
I just hope that all of the Star Wars TV shows just get to a point where we're just continuously acquiring creatures that we can ride.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Apparently.
All I want is just a menagerie of creatures
that
our characters can ride.
This was a very Game of Thrones-esque
episode.
Yeah,
it was.
It really was.
It was. What else do I have? Do I have anything else? I thought I had something else. Oh, fun fact. Some of the shots of Coruscant with, like, Ahmed Best in, like, a cruiser and thing, they're reused shots from Revenge of the Sith.
I wondered. I was like, this looks so familiar.
They're 100% reused shots.
That's amazing. I mean, it's literally the exact same time. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They have to make it look dated. They have to make it look like that time. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Also, just finding out that, Grogu is a foundling now. He is training to be a Mandalorian. He's learning about the culture. He's becoming immersed in it. But then, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's nephew being a little shit and like, why doesn't he have to wear a helmet?
Right.
But then we find out that Grogu won't wear a helmet until he can actually speak the Creed.
Yeah, did say that. Yeah.
So I don't think it'll, I mean, venturing a guess, I don't think it'll be this season. I think that's a ways down the road. But there have been people speculating that, and even Dave Filoni has mentioned this because people have asked him, when will Grogu talk? And I believe the response was, well, maybe he's talking already and that we just don't understand him yet. But there's been speculation that in episode 3, when Bo-Katan and Din both say this is the way, and then Grogu kind of gurgles behind him, that he was trying to say this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Grogu's all in for being Mandalorian.
I'm wondering, I am too now. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, is he going to talk like Yoda talks?
I don't know.
Like,
Because Yaddle didn't talk like that.
She didn't?
No, not because when we saw her in Tales of the Jedi, she didn't, and she was Bryce Dallas Howard.
She didn't?
She didn't speak like Yoda.
Interesting. Yeah. Yoda, what the fuck is wrong with you? Speak like a normal...
Yoda
so that was just a Yoda thing.
Yeah, Yoda got hit in the head, I guess.
And I wonder at what year he decided, you know, I'm going to switch it up.
Hey, I'm going to speak like...
You're like 400 or 500. He was like, for the next like 400 years, I'm going to confuse everybody and just speak in riddles. Enough is enough. When you've been around for that long, you get bored and you have to think of new things.
I'm going to start fucking with people.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm going to
start
fucking
respect.
With people.
He's been around for 900 years. Like, I don't blame him.
He's had plenty of time to master the language, and now he's just mixing it up for fun.
He's like, listen.
But I did
like that. That's hilarious.
We did get a little bit of like because you remember in, what is it, Empire Strikes Back. I don't know why I said like I forgot what movie it was. But in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke meets Yoda, and Yoda says, judge me by my size. And that's the first thing that Jimmy Kimmel's nephew does. And it's almost like Din Djarin and Bo-Katan are just like, okay, bitch, like your fucking funeral.
Like, yes. No, it's so true.
I love that. I just love that we got a little bit of a judge me by my size. And then we get to see Grogu with his teeny tiny wrist turrets.
I know. So cute.
I think Grogu's just going to start acquiring weapons. That pod's going to get decked out in weapons. He is going to be the baddest little baby ever.
Yes. No, it's so true. And now that I know that Yaddle didn't speak that way and it was just Yoda being a piece of shit. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Grogu might speak correct and proper English and not confuse the hell out of everyone. That's so funny.
I don't really have anything else except I do have a note that has to do with the baby birds that I just read that says we're all riding fucking creatures.
All riding fucking creatures.
That is all I have in this episode. It was a short one. It was short but sweet.
Short but sweet, and short it gave sweet. Us what we've been Loved questioning. It gave us that flashback.
It gave us so many answers. It gave us Ahmed Best.
Yes.
It gave us Carl Weathers directing.
Yes.
It gave us more Order 66.
We don't love to see that. Bad timing. I was saying we love to see it after the Carl Weathers and Ahmed Best. Bad timing. My bad.
Oh my God.
My bad. We do not love to see that.
But we love to see Ahmed Best. Like.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm wondering if they're going to make that
a thing, if every either couple episodes or every season we'll get even more of Grogu's flashbacks of how he finally got connected to.
Or how he ended up where he was, how he ended up with where he was with.
Remind me again. I don't know if we know this or not, but also like Din Djarin deciding that Grogu's going to be a Mandalorian. What was his actual job in with Grogu? Was he supposed to deliver him to someone? Like,
yeah, he was supposed to deliver him to Werner Herzog.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he was hired to bring in this what he thought was his 50-year-old. which I mean, it is that 50-year-old. Technically, yes, but he was hired to bring him to Werner Herzog. So that, like, Pershing could, like, they could do more cloning shit with him.
And he decided, no, I don't want to do that.
He took one look at him and said, like, this is a cute baby.
He's mine now.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. I feel like I might need to rewatch season one.
I know. Like, getting to that point, I'm like, I need to see where we
started. How did Grogu become a Mandalorian again? Like, when did Din Djarin decide, like, this is your fate? Anyway. Well, all right, then. That's the episode. Sorry.
All right, we're done. Phil, that's all we have for you guys. Well, I don't have anything else.
No, I don't have anything else. It's fine.
That's all we got for this week, guys. Oh, thank you so much for coming back.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.
We will chat with you again in 2 weeks for two episodes.
We will behave-ish.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
We'll attempt to behave.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. It's fine. Well, we love you all.
We love you. Have a wonderful week. And week after that.
Yep. Have a wonderful spring. Happy spring, everyone. I hope your allergies aren't attacking you like they are me.
Yes.
God. Anyway. All right. Stay safe out there, kiddos.
All right, guys. Love you. Mean it.
Okay, bye.